Alrighty. So hi everyone, I'm Razvan. We are now a part of the community, of the microcontroller component component-based OS dev room. It's a pleasure to have you all here. We're going to start right away. So we have, I think, 10 talks. We're going to delve into microkernel, Unicode, and component-based OS topics. We're going to start with Martin with his talk on the state of the microkernel environment. So Martin, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for coming. Welcome. It's my pleasure and honor to open this dev room today. And it's also a great pleasure that we can continue this tradition of this dev room since 2012. I would like to thank Razvan for organizing the dev room this year, and let's go to it. So my talk will be about the currently developed microkernels that I'm aware of. Maybe I'm missing some, but this should be like an overview if you might be interested in seriously using a microkernel or just trying it out, what you can expect. This first slide is about me. I won't go into it. Let me just say that I have been working with microkernels and contributing to microkernels for almost 20 years now, half of my lifetime. I assume that most people here do know what a microkernel is, or at least most people have some kind of idea. But I will still try to very briefly introduce the microkernels to you. Maybe I will save a few minutes for the follow-up speakers. So a microkernel-based operating system is a fundamental way how to achieve operating system reliability and dependability by the means of having proper software architecture, especially driven by specific design principles. Now, every microkernel has their own design principles. This is where the different implementations differ, obviously. But I think there are like three common universal design principles: the separation of concerns, the split of mechanism and policy, and the principle of least privilege. So this generally results in a system that is modular, customizable, and verifiable, potentially formally verifiable. By the way, some microkernels do have a minimality as a, you know, explicit design principle, but many microkernels actually don't. So the micro part in the microkernel and the whole microkernel term is a little bit of a misnomer, at least as I see it, because, you know, having the microkernel as small as possible is not necessary. The a priori goal is just the result of the other design principles. And I really think that there is no point in comparing whether one microkernel might have 20,000 lines of code and the other one 30,000. It's really comparing apples to oranges. These design principles also don't affect just the kernel design, but potentially also the user space design. So therefore, you might see descriptions like microkernel multi-server operating system with fine-grained components. This means that not only the kernel is non-monolithic, maybe that would be a better term, but we are stuck with the microkernel term, but also this might suggest that in many of these systems also there are no monoliths in the user space. I have some slides about the history, but I will skip them. You can go to the slides if you are interested. Just one note, the idea of microkernels has been around almost as long as the idea of operating systems. So if some people say that microkernels are strange, are this strange over-engineered idea that you know, proper operating systems should be monolithic because this was the way how they started and etc., I don't think those are very valid arguments. So let's go to the core of my talk. There is a website, microkernel.info, which is basically a condensed version of this. So this is a very simple site that lists the current state-of-the-art open source microkernels. So if you are interested or if you are looking around, going to this site is probably a good idea. By the way, this site was started by Jakub Mirmář, my colleague, and I'm maintaining it right now. Of course, if you are a microkernel developer and you don't see your project on this site, just send us a pull request. It's so simple. Okay, let's start with the overview. I should say that there are surprisingly many projects, active projects, that are microkernel based. And for a microkernel developer, this is really exciting times, I would say. So Gnode by Gnode Labs is perhaps the most versatile example of a microkernel-based operating system. But I mind you, it's actually not an operating system in the common sense, like you would consider Windows or a GNU/Linux distribution. It's actually an operating system construction kit. So it's a way how to pick and match different operating system components, including different microkernels or kernels in general, with some user space components, and how to build a bespoke operating system for your specific needs. So what is really interesting about Gnode that you can really use all these different microkernels like SCL4, Fiasco OC, microhypervisors like Nova, and you can even use their own custom microkernel, which is called Base HW. You can even run this infrastructure on top of Linux for development purposes, maybe. There is strong focus on resource accounting and management in Gnode. You can read the Gnode book for the details. Gnode is driven by a commercial company, so they have customers. Somebody is paying them to do that. They don't state their references publicly, as far as I know. I might know some, but I'm not in the liberty to name them. And there is also this thing called Scalp OS, which is like a pre-built distribution of Gnode. So if you would like to try something that you don't have to pre-configure in advance for your specific needs, you can go for that. This is a picture from Norman Feske, one of the co-authors of Gnode from I think, Potsdam 2017. So maybe the image is a little bit outdated, but I still think it gives you the big picture. So you have all these components like the different kernels, different user space, runtime environments, if I can say. So this one is, for example, a Unix-like runtime environment, drivers and UI components and stuff like that, and you mix and match them. And then this is a screenshot of the Scalp OS, so like this one instantiation of Gnode, and you see that it's actually a nice desktop-oriented operating system. Some final closing remarks to Gnode. I really like Base HW as the bespoke microkernel for Gnode because it's really nicely integrated with the rest of the system. For some reason that I don't know, I don't understand, but there are Gnode guys here, you can ask them. I don't see complete feature parity of Base HW with the other microkernels they support. So as far as I know, there is no support for hardware virtualization. And this is not a criticism, this is just a comment. If you start playing with Gnode, you need to read some documentation. There is very nice documentation available, no doubt about it, but really it's not so simple by just downloading an image and running it and expecting a fully blown desktop environment, at least not from just by booting it. You have to do something. But I think it's definitely worth it. So there are some links you can follow. It's an open source project, by the way. Okay, now let me talk about L4E, which is something slightly similar in some aspects different by my current employer, Kernconcept. So this is also a production grade microkernel based environment, a little bit more integrated, I would say, because we basically support just the one kernel, which we called the L4E microkernel, but you all know it by the name Fiasco. We use this name currently because Fiasco is a very poor name, trust me. So we strongly focus on virtualization, we strongly focus on safety and security certification currently, and we also have customers because we are a company that pays us and etc. I'm again not in the liberty to name them, but I can say that if you're gonna buy a new car from a German car manufacturer, there is a high chance you will be running L4E. There will be L4E code running in the software stack of that car. To be honest, the code base is not the most verbosely commented that I have seen, especially the kernel itself. So again, the learning curve is a little bit steep, but at least there are some scenarios you can just build or downloading a pre-built image, and this will show you the potential to a certain degree. And here are some links. Again, it's an open source project. Now let's talk about HelenOS, which is to compare with the previous two, is a slightly different breed. So this is like an integrated operating system. So the purpose is to build it or download an image, boot it, and be presented with a desktop environment with a shell and some mostly familiar commands which you can use to explore the system. So it's not about compile time or deployment time configuration. It's really about configuring the system at runtime as you go. What do you expect from a desktop-oriented OS? And of course, I'm a little bit biased because this is my project, but I would argue that if you want to understand how a microkernel-based system works inside, this is the one to pick because of the lowest entry barrier. The code base is portable, self-contained, well-structured. So, for example, we know how to use directories and not only a single level of them. So this is how we structure the system to be more understandable. The code is well commented, and this is not just my observation. If you run a tool that will analyze the sources, you will get a number around 30-35% of comments, which is not bad. And believe me, I have seen many microkernel code bases. I have seen the code of many operating systems in general, and I can tell the difference. So I would compare HelenOS to something like the Solaris kernel in terms of the structure and commands and stuff like that. And we also prefer to use our native components, so no ported components or components that might use some unikernel layers to really make the system feel coherent. Let's put it that way. So this is how it looks like when you boot the image, which you can compile or download. So you have a user interface, a shell, etc. And we have some interesting features that are not present in the other microkernels. So we are portable not only in theory, but also in real life. So we support 8 different architectures, including strange beasts like Itanium. And yes, the RISC-V port is still not finished, and that goes to me. We are using asynchronous IPC, which transparently uses shared memory for performance. We have interrupt controller drivers in user space compared to some other microkernels. We have a fully decomponentized TCP/IP stack. We support USB 3.0, and we have a sound stack, so just a few highlights. I will go quickly through these slides. We don't have the time to go to the details, but the microkernel while being quite small, still has a structure. So we have a well-defined hardware abstraction layer in the kernel. This is how the user space, or how the entire architecture of the system looks like. So you might see some similarities with the Gnode image, but the difference is that all of this is potentially running in the system all the time, I mean, depending on the actual configuration of your machine. And there are some device drivers which are, again, somehow structured in a tree, starting with some platform drivers, etc. If you want the details, please come to me. It's a community-driven effort currently. We are not so fast regarding the development, but we still do semi-regular releases. And sadly, we don't support some of the new hardware features. If you'd like to contribute, you are more than welcome. Fuchsia by Google is a relatively new kit on the block. It's a microkernel-based system that is strongly focusing on Internet of Things. Specifically, their target is to support maintenance, remote management, and remote upgrading of a fleet of devices. So imagine, for example, the Google Nest Hub, which is the device where Fuchsia is being shipped currently with, and they even managed to do a remote update of all those, you know, Nest Hubs from the previous Linux-based OS to Fuchsia over the air without the users even noticing. So I think this is quite impressive. The microkernel is called Zircon, and it's capability-based message passing microkernel. And I have spoken to the developers why they don't actually stress that it's microkernel. And it's their deliberate choice to somehow understate that it's a microkernel because of some bad press of the term. So they don't call it microkernel explicitly unless you ask them, but it is a microkernel for sure. This is how it looks like on the Nest Hub, or this is the way how you can tell whether